SBS Radio.
How would you feel if you were told to stop speaking your own language? Well, upon colonisation, many Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people were forbidden to practice culture and were told not to speak their own language. And in recent years, there has been somewhat of a language revival, with many Indigenous people now reclaiming language as their very own, as it should be. I'm Kerry Lee Harding, and this is the NITV podcast.
Reviving languages is so important. It gives people a way to reconnect with their country, with their ancestors. And I guess, you know, for a lot of people, you know, we really are trying to find that connection, and language is a big part of that. So, you know, the language and you know, health and well-being, it all is so intertwined and so connected, and it will benefit people so much in the long run.
You just heard there from Anna Lee Pope, Project Officer at First Languages Australia, and speaking there of the importance of speaking our own traditional languages. And you'll hear more from Anna Lee later. And in just a moment, you'll hear from Alice Gabby, Associate Professor of Linguistics at Monash University.
Language is a really important way for people to connect to family, both, you know, their current family and ancestors, people who might be remembered but no longer around. People also rely on language a lot for connecting to country and the sense of history and connection with the world. So language can be a very, very powerful way of connecting beyond the language itself.
Now to Anna Lee Pope, Project Officer at First Languages Australia. And Anna is speaking of one of her most recent language projects, one that supports communities to document their own languages for community and for the future generations.
Is supporting communities to document their speakers. It's so vital because some of these languages just have very little documentation or very little useful documentation that the community can access. So recording the speakers that they have now is helping to ensure that future generations have access to that language.
So, how does Anna Lee Pope, Project Officer at First Languages Australia, work with Indigenous community members to revive their own local languages?
The way the project works is we ask for communities to nominate themselves or a neighbouring community, and they identify where they have speakers and they send that to us, and then, you know, go through a selection process where we consider their need, you know, the needs and look at how much previous documentation there is, and that's how we are identifying these languages. So it's really the communities that is the driving force of these projects, and they're, you know, doing wonderful work capturing the knowledge within the community, and it's all going towards, you know, building community capacity and creating community resources so that the community can together revive the language.
Anna Lee Pope believes language revival can be extensive work for grassroots community members, but one man from Wadair in the NT has been documenting the local language himself.
Like, there's one community up in the Northern Territory out at Wadair, and this guy, he's been working in the community for so many years, and he's been doing a lot of the, you know, he's been documenting the language off of out of his own pocket kind of thing, just working. He's so passionate about the community and about reviving the language that he's done it for years on his own. And, you know, this project has enabled him to actually get some decent recording equipment and upgrade some of his equipment and give this and help support the speakers and taking them out on country where they can, you know, tell stories and sort of revisit their traditional places. And, you know, it's so beautiful to see. And, you know, I'm just happy that we're able to help these communities, because most of them aren't able to access funding, you know, through the other main sort of funding bodies or streams. So this is really helping those grassroots communities get something off the ground and start the initial work.
Alice Gabby, Associate Professor of Linguistics at Monash University, has set up the Paper and Talk Project, which has been a successful language revival program across some Aboriginal communities around Australia.
Yeah, so last year we ran the Paper and Talk Institute, which we were hoping to repeat again this year, but of course circumstances have conspired against us there, but certainly into the future. We hope to do it again. So the Paper and Talk Institute brought together people from around Australia who were wanting to reconnect with their language. Most of them were already working on language revival projects in their own communities. But of course, in many cases, colonisation has really disrupted the connection between communities and their language inheritance. So they may not have access to people who still speak the language fluently, and the written records of the language can be really hard to find. So this institute brought people from around Australia to the IASIS archive, the Australian Institute of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Studies, which is in Canberra. So we partnered with IATSIS and also Living Languages. And so people would come to IATSIS and then they would be connected with linguist partners who would work with them to identify materials on their language in the archives. So, you know, you can find these incredibly old little scraps of paper with some handwritten notes in language, but, you know, these were often notes taken down by early explorers or geologists or policemen who didn't necessarily know much about language or the people that were sharing their language with them. And they might write these words down without even writing down a language name or anything that would really identify beyond perhaps a very broad geographic location. So it can take a bit of detective work to even work out what language is involved here. And then, you know, once you connect the descendants of the speakers to these materials on their language, then there's more detective work where you're trying to work out, well, okay, this is how this person wrote the word down, but what were they hearing? You know, when the speaker was sharing this language knowledge with them, what would it have actually sounded like when they spoke it, as opposed to, you know, someone who didn't speak that language or necessarily have any linguistic training, sort of writing it down using sometimes English alphabet, or they might be German or from any range of countries. So there's a whole lot of work in trying to piece together from these scraps of evidence you can find in the archives as much information about the language as you can. It's incredibly hard work, but, you know, everyone who came to this institute, and I think anyone working in language revival, just has such a fire in their belly to get their language spoken again that, you know, you don't, I just am constantly in awe of the hard work and dedication and ingenuity they show in being able to do this seemingly impossible task.
Alice Gabby has been working with several Aboriginal communities across Australia and has recently also worked with the Waka Waka Mob from Cherbourg Aboriginal community in Queensland to produce local language resources for community members.
The way the project works is we ask for communities to nominate themselves or a neighbouring community, and they identify where they have speakers and they send that to us, and then go through a selection process where we consider their need, the needs and look at how much previous documentation there is, and that's how we are identifying these languages. So it's really the communities that is the driving force of these projects, and they're doing wonderful work capturing the knowledge within the community, and it's all going towards building community capacity and creating community resources so that the community can together revive the language.
There is so much pride for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who are able to reclaim their own language.
Absolutely, and that pride is absolutely deserved. It's such an incredible achievement to be able to resurrect language from often these, very, very scant and old resources. So it's a monumental achievement. There's a lot of joy and pride, but there can be a lot of sadness too, because of course this is stuff that should have been passed down from generation to generation, and there's a lot of grief around the disruption that's happened since colonisation, but also in working with these old materials. These materials have, of course, the knowledge is from ancestors, but that knowledge has been come down through the intermediaries of other people who've written these words down, and often in amongst all the language there can be some pretty upsetting information and some pretty derogatory language too. So there's plenty of pain in the process as well. It's not all joy and pride, but people have really persevered through that and been able to create such powerful and important resources to take back to their communities from the work they've done. So it's just so exciting to see that happen.
Rory O'Connor, CEO of the Yugambeh Museum Language and Heritage Research Centre, based at Southeast Queensland, together with his elders, have revived their own local Yugambeh language.
Our organisation was set up 35 years ago, and one of the things my elders tried to do was get the language back from lost. So we had no fluent speakers at that time, but for 35 years, we've been raising the awareness in the community, not just the Aboriginal community, general community, about our language, so that now kids in schools all around Southeast Queensland know our greetings, they know how to count to five, and they're learning the language. And as a language organisation, we just don't help Yugambeh. We're one of 20 language centres funded by the federal government throughout Australia. So we help about a dozen other different language groups to get material so they can also have their people learning the language that was once spoken. So 250 different languages at the point of first contact, or probably more, now 90% of those endangered. So my mother grew up, she was born in the desert back in the 1920s, and she grew up with people knowing language, but they weren't allowed to speak it. If she was found speaking language as a young girl, she could have been taken away to a reserve. She then gets older, she has eight kids and has a family, but when she's an older lady, so now the 1980s, it's not against the law to speak language anymore. And so she then goes to her elders and says, can we get our language back? They actually went to University of Queensland linguistics people, and they were told, forget it, your language is dead, go study Bunjalung, which is a language from northern New South Wales. The language that was spoken here was Yugambeh. So that's the language my mother set out to bring back. And she was helped by her younger sister and some of their relatives. And they all got together and gathered people around and said, what words do you remember? And I remember at one of those really early meetings, people would put forward words they remembered, and it became very, very clear to our community that we did know the language. We were different to Bundjalung, and there are some similarities between languages, but Yugambeh was its own language. And so we also had some written records, and we had interviews that were done. So piece them all together and put them into an app, put them onto websites to encourage people to use them.
I asked Rory O'Connor what it was like for him personally learning his own culture and Yugambeh language.
It's quite a challenge. I lived in London for a while, but I wanted to move home so I could look at the animals and think, my great-great-great-grandfather looked out there and he would look at that animal and he'd say, ah, that's a woggan, that's a scrub turkey. Or he'd go, ah, that's a wagan, that's a crow. So to me, it was a really personal journey, and I was a television journalist previously. My auntie passed away suddenly, so I went and joined my mother to run this, help run this museum, and I've been here 14 years now. So wherever we can, we try and get the language message out.
And this is it for this episode of our podcast series. Thank you to our guests today, Alice Gabby, Rory O'Connor and Annalie Pope. I'm Kerry Lee Harding and this is the NITV Podcast. And you can listen to our other NITV podcasts, Take It Black and Ballin' Out. And you can listen just by going to where you get your podcasts.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.